We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
We had a chance just a few months ago to talk to Kevin Sullivan, who leads the Michigan track and field program. They were coming off a women's Big Ten indoor championship. Now Kevin joins us after leading the women's team to back-to-back Big Ten titles. Kevin Sullivan was also the Big Ten Women's Coach of the Year this year as well as last. He's going to join us, but before our conversation with Coach Sullivan, we've been telling you about the great benefits of becoming a member of the Alumni Association of the University of Michigan, exclusive deals and discounts through the Go Blue Rewards Program, access to member-only Alumni Association athletic events, or even worldwide travel experiences. So you don't want to miss your chance to be part of the fun, and you can join if you're an alum. And even if you're not, join the Alumni Association of the University of Michigan today and get special savings using the discount code MAIZE. That's M-A-I-Z-E. Head to alumni.umich.edu/mgoblue today to sign up. Coach Sullivan joins us in just a moment.
Welcome to your one-stop podcast for all things Michigan athletics. Updates on every team on campus and interviews with players and coaches are all on the way. This is Conquering Heroes. Here's your host, John Jansen.
Well, as promised, I'm joined by a very decorated athlete at the University of Michigan. That's Kevin Sullivan, now head coach of the women's and men's track and field program, the director of track and field at Michigan. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, thanks for joining me. And I know you guys are coming off back-to-back Big Ten championships for the women. You're coming off being awarded the Coach of the Year for the women's program on back-to-back seasons. What's this run been like for you guys?
Yeah, no, it's been fantastic. It's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we have been building toward this for, you know, 3 or 4 years. And we kind of finally got to a point where not only did we feel we had all the right people in place, but we had the experience where we could step up and handle some adversity and handle some of the challenges thrown at us and come out on top a couple times. And so, you know, like I told the team, it's like that winning feeling, it's addictive. And, you know, you start winning a couple and you want to win a few more. So I think, you know, in terms of, you know, just helping us in the long term moving forward, it just continues to, you know, build that confidence and faith in the individual and in the coaching staff. So it's been great all around.
What were some of those challenges that you mentioned? Hey, you got the experience, you had the people in place, now the athletes in place, coaching staff as well. What were some of the challenges you guys faced this year that you were able to overcome?
Well, I mean, the biggest ones were just that, you know, Ohio State and Nebraska just showed up, and they just put us under a lot of early pressure in the meet. Nebraska was mainly, most of their points come in the field events, and so a lot of the field events are on the first 2 days of the meet, and they just built up a huge lead, you know, which when you're looking at it, looks like it's kind of insurmountable. And then Ohio State gets a lot of early points in the first part of the last day of the championship. So they get big points in the 100, the 200. And so we were going into the last day, and it was just looking like we were projected to lose by 14 or 15 points. And so that's tough when you go in and you can, you know, you feel like you had the people to win, but you also are projecting that you're not going to win. You know, it's just tough sometimes to change that mindset of the kids. And, you know, to their credit, I mean, they did a great job. We just tried to keep them motivated as we chipped away, and that just continued to build momentum over the last day.
Not only do you get addicted to that success that you talked about, I know what that feeling is like, but the bullseye that you wear on your back, it's a little bit bigger because everybody else wants what you have. Is that part of the challenge that you had, is on the mental side of things, keeping your athletes focused and not looking at what looks like an insurmountable lead by Nebraska or Ohio State coming on, but being able to stay the course?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's one of the things we wanted to make sure that we just stayed in the moment and took care of each individual round, each individual event, and not look too much at the overall picture. It's like, you know, we were trying to keep the team updated of like, hey, we're closing the gaps, which helps build confidence, momentum, but just making sure that we stay the course and not get too far ahead of ourselves. So, you know, we had a couple athletes that had to run 2, 3, 4 events. So it was like, just worry about your task in front of you right now. And then we worry about the next event, you know, in an hour's time. So it was just about a lot about staying the course. But there's definitely that pressure of having the bullseye on your back. I mean, I think we snuck up on people indoors, but we weren't going to sneak up on people outdoors.
And you guys are heading down to Austin, Texas. June 8, 9, and 10 is the competition. But the weather down in Austin is going to be hot. It's going to be muggy. Generally, it's different than we have here in Michigan, but we got ourselves a little heat wave. Is this a little bit of a hidden gem for you guys to be able to train in this weather before you guys go down to Austin?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. It's going to be, it'll be in the 90s most of the time that we're down there. So getting some of this weather in the high 80s the next few days, because it takes about a week to 10 days to acclimate to the heat and humidity. So the fact that we're going to get, you know, basically a week here and then 3 days down in Austin before we start, I mean, we should be fully acclimated to the heat and humidity, which is going to be a big benefit for us. We just haven't had it this spring. So it's just been such a cold, wet spring that, you know, it's definitely been a little shock to the system.
How do you manage your athletes when they're going to be waiting around for their events? They're going to be sitting in that heat. Is there a way for them to stay cool? Can they go back in the locker room and wait? How do you manage keeping them ready, but also making sure that they're locked in?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. We don't have a traditional locker room at a meet like this. So, you know, basically at down in Austin, you know, our team camp area is, you know, we have a set space underneath the football stadium grandstand. That's where they set us all up. So we're, even our kind of pre-competition, a lot of that's going to be just in the heat and humidity. So, you know, part of it is we'll take cooling vests down with us. We've got portable ice tubs to take down with us. We will maybe adjust just our time from departing hotels so we can keep kids in kind of the cooler temperatures, you know, longer. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, everybody's dealing with this, you know, this temperature as well. So it's also not overthinking it, you know, doing what we can do, but recognizing that everybody's got to deal with it. So, you know, again, we just control what we can control, and then, you know, everything else should take care of itself.
So you've got seven individual athletes heading down to Austin, one relay team that's qualified to head down to the NCAA Outdoor Championships. Let's start on the women's side with four participants. And I know that Zia Holman was the Big Ten athlete of the championships. What have you seen from her, and what are the expectations down in Austin?
Yeah, no, I mean, Zia's been great all season. Again, you know, she stepped up. She was our second highest point scorer indoors. She was our high point scorer outdoors at the Big Ten championships. And what you see again, you know, one of the things I tell the team all the time is that, you know, what you get from Zia is somebody that just has this innate ability to just compete with whoever she needs to compete with. You know, she comes into the 200 meters and she's ranked, you know, fifth in the conference and ends up second. You know, she wasn't supposed to be second, and runs a big time PR. It's like that, you know, those extra three or four points are some of those things that started to build some of the momentum. So, and you know, she was just a workhorse over the weekend. You know, she ran four events on the last day for us at Big Ten, between the 4x1, the 200, the 400, and the 4x4. So, she just, you know, put her body on the line for the team, and that's impressive. And so it's easy to, you know, when you're another athlete on the team that maybe has one or two events, it's easy to find that fight when you see other athletes that are, you know, putting out the types of efforts that Zia was putting out.
Asia Lorenzen is going to be participating in the 110-meter hurdles. She holds the best time in the Big Ten in that event this season. How does that translate to what she's going to be up against in the NCAAs?
Yeah, I mean, she's going to be ranked really well NCAA-wise. She should be in the mix for a top eight finish. Obviously, getting through the rounds is going to be key. Down at the preliminary round, her first round down there had a fantastic start, ran 12:67 with just a slightly illegal tailwind. So there's definitely, she got a couple tenths in her still from her 12:83 PR. And so I think she's going to put herself in the mix to be in the final, and that'll be a huge step forward for her.
And Savannah Sutherland is going to be competing in the 400-meter hurdles now. The 400, that's, you know, you know better than I do, and those that know track know better than I do, it's kind of in between those two energy systems. It could be a very, very miserable race, and I got to imagine you throw some hurdles in there and it doesn't make it any better. She's the Big Ten champ. What are your expectations for Savannah?
Yeah, I think with Sav, you know, she's our highest ranked athlete going in. She's ranked third in the country right now. She's ranked top 10 in the world in the 400-meter hurdles. So, obviously there's big expectations, from us. I know she's got big expectations. And so a lot of this will be, you know, this is a big step up from where she was last year as an athlete. So how does she handle that pressure of being, you know, one of the favorites, in that event? She handled it well indoors in the 400, making the final, indoors in the flat 400. But this is her bread and butter. This is her baby. You know, this is her event. So, I have no reason to believe that she's not going to step up and know how to perform on this kind of biggest stage that she's been on. But time will tell a little bit, but she's definitely in good form and has already beaten the number two athlete in the country. So she set herself up really well for next weekend.
And Aurora Rinda, your fourth female athlete, other than the relay team that we'll talk about in just a moment, but she's making her third trip to the outdoor championships in the 800 meter. How could she use that experience to help her this time around?
You know, I think the biggest thing with experience is you kind of have everything thrown at you. And, you know, now that it's her, you know, her third time here, she's run, you know, a variety of different types of preliminary rounds, tactical, you know, really fast rounds. So there's nothing that you can kind of throw at her that she hasn't experienced. And that, that definitely helps because you don't have to think as much. You can run more off of instinct. And that's when you get to that point as an athlete where you start competing more on instinct and having to actually sit and process everything, then your performances tend to be a little bit more just kind of flowing and natural and take some of the pressure off.
Tell us a little bit about that 4x400 relay team. I know they've had some special performances. They've had some times that rank in the best in the history of Michigan. Tell us about those four performers. And I know that obviously Holman and Rinda are, we've already talked about them, but you've also got Nikki Stevens and Sophie Isom as well.
Yeah, no, the great thing about our 4x4 is that we've got a lot of interchangeable parts. Because we, even our school record team had Savannah on the relay. And so, you know, the nice thing there is that we've got a lot of options, especially with Zaya and Sav and Aurora all having individual events. You know, we feel really confident that we can line up a team, no matter which four young women we put together, we're going to line up a team that is going to go out, that always competes at a really high level. And, we had to pull Savannah off the relay at the preliminary round, and Aurora stepped in and ran her best leg of the season. So it's just like, they really know how to like step up under high pressure situations and perform. So I think we're going to have an outside shot, I think, to be in the top eight. And if we can do that, that's probably going to be, school record performance again.
And on the men's side, you've got three individuals that are going to be making the trip as well. And you got some youth and you got some local names. But let's start with your youngest individual. That's Zane Forrest is going to be throwing the disc for you guys. How special is it to see such a young talent?
And that's the best thing. It's like, this was a surprise, I think, for us, for Zane to make the national. You know, he was eighth at Big Tens as a true freshman, which is really solid performance. But in some really tough conditions down in Jacksonville, just stepped up and hit a great throw to get himself to nationals. So it's a huge for him. It's going to be a big confidence booster going into next year. I mean, I think, we're hopeful that he's going to find a little bit more distance when we get down there. But for me, I see this more as this is a big growth moment for him to really kind of elevate himself in the conference and nationally over the next 3 years.
I mentioned the local connection. Kitty Corner to the Big House is obviously Pioneer High School, and a graduate of Pioneer High School, Nick Foster, is going to be competing in the 1500 meter. When you're looking at that race, what are some of the things that you give him some tips on and your expectations for him entering the NC2As?
Yeah, and obviously this is the event that I primarily ran, so I've got a little bit of experience there. And the biggest thing about the 1500 is it's kind of always a crapshoot on how the race will play out. It's one of those races that can go really slow and tactical, and a lot of it is about it's a very much a thinking man's race, and so you've got to be able to think about positioning and managing emotional energy, and those are a lot of the things that we talk about with Nick. Is like, again, controlling the controllables, but just being really aware and observant about what's happening around you so that you know where to position yourself, when to make moves, who to follow. Those are the real big things. And he's been running with a huge, he's really had a mindset change of how he's run races this year, where he's really started to run races where it doesn't matter who he's lined up against. He believes he can win each race. And so he runs to win each race rather than thinking about time or just qualifying through. And that's been that shift in mindset has really elevated performances, across the entire year.
And the third, but certainly not the least of the men that are going down there. You want to talk about experience, fifth straight time to the NCAA championships. This is in the 400 meter and it's Dubem Amene. When you watch him and you look at his legacy and the opportunity for him to have this fifth straight trip down there. I mean, that's about as impressive as it gets, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, Duke came in as a pretty underrated freshman and made, really big leaps throughout his career where he's, been on, both relay teams and qualified individually to nationals, and now has, much like Aurora, has this wealth of experience. And so, the same thing for him, in that there hasn't been a lot that he hasn't seen now, and so there's not a lot of surprises for him. He's got his routine. He knows what he needs to do. He knows how to execute. And he's a big time performer. He's a guy who thrives on competing on the big stage. And that's what you have to have. You have to have people that relish competing on the big stage and aren't afraid of competing against that type of competition.
And I know we touched on it a little bit at the top. As you guys prepare to go down to Austin, Texas, the NC2As will take place June 8 through 10. But this is the second year in a row you have been tabbed as the coach of the year in the women's side of things. What does that mean for you and your program?
Well, I think, you know, it's more about the program than me. And what I tell people is, you know, one of the reasons directors or head coaches are successful is because they surround themselves with good people. And that's, you know, something that I believe 100% that we have. We have a great coaching staff that is fully bought in, that has, you know, a kind of a singular championship mindset. And our athletes are reflecting that in their performances, the way they, you know, the way they carry themselves on and off the track. And that's really special to be a part of. And so to be recognized for that is fantastic. But, you know, I wouldn't have these accolades without having great people around me.
Well, Kevin, congratulations on the Coach of the Year honors, on the Big Ten Championships. Best of luck as you guys travel down to Austin for the NCAAs.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Go Blue.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, there you have it, an in-depth look at what Michigan faces on both the women's and men's side of things down in Austin, Texas. They're going to be traveling down there, it looks like this weekend, continue that acclimation process down in Austin, Texas, and then they're going to take on the rest of the country, June 8 through 10. Make sure you, you keep an eye on what's going on down there. And we'll let you guys know how it all ends up. As we do all the time here on Conquering Heroes, we're going to continue to cover everything that's going on in and around Michigan athletics. So make sure you stay tuned in and you get that download every single week right here on Conquering Heroes.
Thanks for listening to Conquering Heroes with John Jansen. Conquering Heroes is part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.